The lead up to Christmas, which is, of course, a celebration, the date we choose to celebrate the birth of Christ. So we're at the midway point of our three-week series, reminding ourselves, refreshing ourselves on the three biblical offices that Christ came to fulfill. Last week, we looked at Jesus coming, being born, stepping into the world, into his own creation, to be the perfect priest that we needed, to reconcile us with God and to reveal God to us. This week, we're looking at Jesus, who's come to fulfill the office of prophet. The office of prophet. Now, a lot of people think of prophecy as being strictly linked to the idea of being able to tell the future. And certainly we see in Scripture prophets doing that. But that's only a subset of what a prophet does. It's more accurate to say that a prophet is somebody who speaks truth. Somebody who speaks truth. We're going to unpack this further as we go. But I want to take the idea off the table at the beginning that a prophet is only, it's kind of something we do that foretells the future. A prophet does far, far more than that. So we're going to open up in prayer. Our section of scripture today is in Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 19. I'll read it out a bit later for us. But that's our section of scripture where we see promised a prophet who is going to come and fulfill our need for prophecy in the world. So let's pray, and then we'll explore Jesus Christ together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for Jesus, Lord. We can't thank you enough because we were so lost and just pray, Lord, for all the evil in the world without him. He is our shepherd, Lord. He is our Savior. He is our brother. He is our friend. He is our God. He is our Lord. And Father, as a church, we want to be united around who he is. All of those incredible blessings that came into this world, Father. Lord, we thank you for him. I just pray for your word being preached today, Lord, that it is clear and something of a reflection of the glory of Christ amongst us. And Lord, that we would live in the light of our Savior Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Okay, so like many other people in this room, not like everybody in this room, I came to faith in Jesus Christ as an adult. I came to faith about 30 years of age when I saw that and finally accepted that Jesus Christ was Lord and God, which means that for a long time, I knew what it meant to live under the power of lies. Right? I worked for a government department, and in that government department, the boss who had all kinds of ethical responsibilities placed on him regularly lied to the people in ways that affected all of our careers, our time, our opportunities. My friends, we would lie to each other. There was no question that that was a part of our problem as a group of guys. Probably most powerful and destructive in my life were the lies that I would tell myself, right? Lies like, I'll never do that again. Lies like, it's all their fault and not my fault, right? Lies, the power of lies in our life is horrific and really destructive. Social media, I would argue, reveals that we, humanity, have a huge appetite for lies. Social media reveals we have a huge appetite for lies. We present what we know to be a fake image of ourselves through social media. In exchange, we pretend to believe the fake image others present of themselves through social media. Right? We have an enormous appetite for lies. This needs to concern us because I wrote this and it really stuck with me. Nobody can tell you a lie that helps you. Nobody can tell you a lie that will benefit you. There is no lie that benefits the one who is being lied to. Go deep enough. All lies are only for the benefit of the one who is doing the lying. You're involved in a transaction when somebody lies to you or when you lie to somebody else that is only of benefit to the one who is doing the lying. And I want to ask you, just this week, how many times have you been lied to? Politicians, colleagues, friends, social media, yourself, right? Jesus says to us, the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. The Bible is clear. God speaks truth to us for the joy and freedom of his people. Right? He speaks truth to us for our benefit, not to punish us. When God gave the commands to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was for their joy, it was for their flourishing, it's for their wholeness. But there's another voice. Satan speaks lies to please his own corrupted desires. Satan is the father of lies as he seeks the destruction of God's people. That's what Jesus calls him. Satan, the father of lies. So we have the father of lies, and we have God, and Jesus said, I have come to set you free. The truth will set you free. And this is what so much of spiritual warfare is in your life. Light and dark, truth and lies. Truth and lies. The truth is the light that pierces your present darkness in this world. But what is truth? I don't ask that like I've made that line up. Pontius Pilate, in judging Jesus Christ, as he's washing his hands, he says, what is truth? And he hands Jesus over to be crucified. So if lies are the weapon, a spiritual warfare weapon of the father of lies, Satan himself, what is truth? Well, whatever it is, it's our greatest need. Whatever truth is, it's something we are desperate to receive. But the problem is, our great problem is that those who wage war against the kingdom of God do so by making competing claims as to what is and is not truth and where it can be found. Right? The enemy, the kingdom of darkness, wants to wage war against God's people and against you by making competing claims about what is true and where truth can be found. The truth shall set you free. So our scripture today, Deuteronomy 18, 9-19, we're picking up with God's people. They've been rescued from slavery in Egypt. They've been led through the wilderness. They've fallen. God has raised up Moses. He's led them to the edge of the promised land, right? This is symbolic of our journey, our own exodus out of slavery into God's presence. And he stands on the edge and he's going to give them a warning. He gives them many warnings, but particular to us today, Deuteronomy 18, 9-19, Moses is going to be speaking about the enemy trying to corrupt God's people through lies and then God's response to this problem. And in this, we're going to see a pointer towards Jesus and we're going to see our hope where that will be realized for us as his people. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 18:9-19. I have this image of this old man as he's about to die, pleading with the amassed people of God to listen to God. Let's read. He says to them, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not imitate the detestable customs of those nations. No one among you is to sacrifice his son or daughter in the fire, practice divination, tell fortunes, interpret omens, practice sorcery, cast spells, consult a medium or a spiritist, or inquire of the dead. So why would you be doing those things? You're trying to find truth, right? He said, don't do those things. Everyone who does these acts is detestable to the Lord, and the Lord your God is driving out the nations before you because of these detestable acts. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Though these nations you're about to drive out listen to fortune tellers and diviners, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, like Moses, from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. This is what you requested from the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not continue to hear the voice of the Lord our God or see this great fire any longer so that we will not die. This is their need for a priest. Then the Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. I will hold him accountable, whoever does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name. Important words for the people of God as they are formed as the people of God and about to step into the blessing that God is bestowing on them as his people in his kingdom under his lordship. He's like, it is so important for my people to know where they get the truth from. Don't go to where the other nations go, to the detestable places that the others go, and be fooled by the father of lies as he speaks corruption into your life and leads you astray. Listen to the prophets that I am going to raise up among you to speak my words to you, to protect you, to set you free from that corrupting power of lies. And they're going to go into this land as we go into our lives with human frailty. There's hard work. They're going to have wars with other nations. They need to know the weather when they're planting crops. Okay, there's this, the relatives die that they yearn to speak to again. All this temptation they have just to speak and hear the truth that they think they need. And around them will be these sources, these detestable sources offering them beautiful words to lure them to their destruction. Moses warns them, there are these sources of evil around you seeking to give you what seems good, promising to give you access to truth, are harmful. They have power. It's only from the father of lies that they will be speaking into your life. Listen to the prophets. So a prophet is someone who God would call, God calls in Scripture to speak his words to his people, right? So God calls a prophet, he calls somebody to speak his words to his people. The power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they would hear from God, and then they take that message to the people. And more than that, when the people would seek spiritual truth in places apart from God, when they start to listen to the detestable people, the prophet would stand. And he would call out the lies of the false prophets. And he would warn the people that judgment will come if you continue to listen and follow the lies of the detestable around you. A prophet would pronounce judgment on those who follow them. He would pronounce grace on those who would return to the living God. God raised up prophets to publicly stand against evil. To stand beside God, as R.C. Sproul puts it, to stand by God against culture. To stand with God against the evil direction a culture might take. And this is spiritual warfare. As we've said, Satan sends fortune tellers, sorcerers, mediums, diviners, star signs in your newspaper or radio, flower readers and seances around the corner, right? But God sends his prophets. He sent his prophets to rebuke and correct and pronounce judgment on false prophets and those who follow them. That's spiritual warfare right there. Those looking to enslave you, being pushed and fought against by those who are trying to set you free by pointing you back to the joy of following your God. It's beautiful when you see this war in action, when I see Moses and Aaron saying to Pharaoh in Exodus 5 in this powerful showdown. And Moses stands before him, probably one of the most mightiest rulers in the world. He says, this is what God says. Who's going to win that fight? Well, it turns out Moses, right? Because God does say it. We see this in Joshua calling the assembled people together to say, stay faithful to God. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all rebuking lies by declaring, by opening up what they would say with these words. This is what the Lord God says. And his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, he says, right? This spiritual warfare that's going on and what's still going on today is fought with words. Holy Spirit working through words, leading us into all truth, he says in John. But the history of God's people is filled with those who listen to false prophets and who are destroyed and filled with God, false prophets and then filled with God sending his true prophets to rebuke. That's all coming down the road in Deuteronomy. But before they even enter the land, God promises that there will be a prophet that comes. So we have the offices of prophet, but there will be a prophet who will be coming to speak a fullness of truth that hadn't been heard before. There's a prophet coming who will speak all of God's commands. He says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. I will hold accountable whoever does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name. So even before the cycle of being lured to destruction by false prophets, by going elsewhere than the word of God for our truth that we build our life upon, God promises a prophet is coming. And whoever doesn't listen to this prophet is going to be accountable for it. There's a particular truth being injected into the world, and this truth will divide. Those who believe and listen and stand and build on God's truth and those who don't. That prophet is coming. And whether the world accepts his words are true or not will determine their eternity. Now, the obvious question, is Jesus that prophet? Is Jesus that prophet who's going to speak all of God's words? In John 7:16, Jesus says of himself, my teaching isn't mine, but is from the one who sent me. Right. So when we see Jesus confronting the Pharisees and the religious elites of his day, we are witnessing the prophet in spiritual warfare, using words as his weapon, offering freedom to those who believe and judgment to those who don't. As he did so, Jesus was continuing on in the work of a prophet. Come to me, all you who are weary and need rest, you brood of vipers. The words of a prophet wasn't always received well. Standing for God's truth has never won many popularity contests for his prophets. It's not an easy job to speak truth into a culture that does not want to hear truth. George Orwell, kind of a famous author slash journalist, observing human behavior last century, wrote, "The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." All right, now, as God's people, that we need to understand this. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. See, the truth frees us by demolishing lies we cling to. Right? It is a sword. It demolishes lies we cling to. Like medicine, it doesn't always taste good. It doesn't always taste good. In Luke 13, Jesus says over Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. So many of the prophets bringing that medicine that they needed, that truth to a society that hated it and abandoned it, were killed. Jesus himself is going to be killed for speaking unpopular truth. As a priest, Jesus administered himself as a sacrifice that we needed to atone for our sins. As a prophet, he was killed for speaking truth. And the world doesn't like it. For pronouncing judgment on the lies that certain people wanted to keep building their lives upon. But finally, where our real understanding that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophet that God promised and that we needed in Deuteronomy is in Acts 3:22-26. The Apostle Peter, preaching, he makes it absolutely explicit. He quotes the passage we are working from and he says that Jesus is the anticipated and needed fulfillment of God's promise of a prophet to speak all his commands. It's Acts 3, it is there. So we can look at the evidence ourselves and see it in the life of Christ, but Peter's going to save us the effort. He goes, listen, Jesus is the prophet that Deuteronomy was pointing us to. So right now I could finish the sermon and we can say, yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of the office. Neat, tick, let's have a coffee, right? We're not doing that because I got a discussion with Dave through the week in the office. There's a couple of nagging details in the New Testament. There's a couple of nagging details around what does it mean for Jesus to be a prophet that we need to reconcile. Firstly, why is it that people in the Gospels who are wrong about Jesus' identity reveal their lack of knowledge of him by calling him a prophet? So those who come up to Jesus and they go, I know you, and they say, who do you say I am? They say, a prophet, they're wrong. Matthew 16, he asks them the Caesarea declaration. Who do people say I am? And they respond, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And it's wrong. When Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, she goes, oh, you're obviously a prophet. And in context, she's revealed to be wrong. Wrong. Second point, none of the epistles, which are the letters written in the New Testament, following on, say, from the book of Acts, we have a series of letters by different authors, they're called the epistles. None of the writers of the epistles, followers of Christ, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, none of them talk about Jesus as a prophet the way they talk about Jesus as our high priest or as our king. They don't make that connection. In fact, in places where you might expect to find it, like the book of Hebrews, which is about all about Jesus for Jewish writers, as the fulfillment of Old Testament expectations, they seem to intentionally avoid, so not casually, but intentionally avoid naming Jesus as prophet, as a prophet. Hebrews 1, long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times in different ways. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. There's a difference between Jesus and the prophets. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2, the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets. He doesn't bring them together. There are two things going on here. Something's different. Peter, Jesus is the fulfillment in Deuteronomy that we've been looking for. And then here, let's not refer to Jesus as a prophet. So yeah, at this point I'm like, oh gee, I wish we had have done a 2-week series, not three. But I went back and said, what is the difference here between Jesus and the culture and the church's understanding of a prophet? I think we go back to how we started with Moses in front of Pharaoh, when Moses stood and said, this is what the Lord God says. When Joshua says, this is what the Lord God said. When Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel and Isaiah, this is what the Lord God says. What does Jesus say? As he stands on the sermon, and he delivers the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 5. In 8 times just in Matthew 5, he says, you have heard it said, but I tell you. You have heard it said. Right? But this is Jesus. But I tell you. You see the difference? The Lord God says, I tell you. Very different. I think they want to avoid naming Jesus as prophet simply because this. A prophet gives us the words of God. Jesus is God, giving us his own words. When a prophet spoke, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Jesus is in eternal and perfect union with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that is true that is not from Jesus Christ. He is both the source of truth and he is truth. Prophets speak judgment on sin. Jesus is the one who will judge sin. But most importantly, I love this last point, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Prophets use words to give God's revelation. Jesus is the word of God's revelation, come to dwell amongst us. He is a prophet, but a prophet who points to himself. He is both our messenger, Deuteronomy, he is also the message. He is the source of truth that he points us to. He is the truth. He says, "The truth shall set you free," says Jesus. And we're in the cacophony of lies that surround us every day, trying to distort and change our directions in life. Jesus is the truth that sets you free. He's not the source of the truth. He is the truth that sets you free. And we've got to understand that. I was reflecting on this week. It is not the words in the Bible that set you free. Right? Too often in our Reformed tribe that we belong to, and I've probably been guilty of this myself, it's like you memorize a Bible verse or passage and somebody is struggling with something and you recite those words over them, almost like a magic spell. Right? I've got these words in my mouth and I throw them over you and I stand back and I wait for you to be healed. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't do it when I do it. But we've got to understand that the Bible, the power of it, is the one it teaches us about. The truth that sets you free is not abstract concepts. It's a person. A living person. The words just point us to the reality. The words of Jesus are about Jesus. So he's the fulfillment of the office of prophet because he's the ultimate fulfillment of the truth we need to set us free and destroy the lies around us. So the culture we live in today hasn't changed as much as we might think as the culture of Israel. People still don't want the truth. They're happy to look for it and receive it from evil places. In today's world, in the era of social media, truth appears to be decided by popular opinion. We get to choose from a variety of sources and try and work out how God might be speaking to us. Like it could be star signs, it could be talk show hosts, it could be the newspaper, it could be your best friend down the road. We just pick and choose where truth is coming from, and whatever makes us feel comfortable and relaxed is what we're going to decide is true. But brothers and sisters, a word of warning from Scripture. Many of those we listen to are popular, are common, are detestable to God. And they owe their origin to the father of lies and not to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth we all need to make sense of our life, the truth that ends loneliness, the truth that builds connections to other, the truth that provides wisdom, life, hope, the truth that points you towards victory in the darkness is all found in Jesus because it is Jesus. He doesn't just speak it, he is the truth. But your reality is that there are thousands of voices trying to drown him out around you. And spiritual warfare is victory for them when you stop listening to Christ and start listening to them. It is all but impossible to decide what is true and what isn't. It is all but impossible to experience God's grace and freedom and the hope of eternity without spending time in his word, the Bible, and in prayer. Someone asked me, and I'm quoting another preacher here, said, what is better, to pray or to read the Bible? And his response is, what's better, to breathe in or out? You need to do both. You need to do both. So I just want to finish with this as we understand how to apply the role and our need for truth as Christ is our great hope of truth, is to finish with this from Luke 6, 46 to 49. The words of Jesus. He says to his people, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words and acts on them. It is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act, right? So I think one who is not believing that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed. And the destruction of that house was great. The destruction of that house was great. So let's build our lives on the words of God revealed in his Bible. But let's put all our hope on the word himself, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to set us free. Lord, I thank you that you have spoken truth into the world against all the clanging lies around us, seeking to divert us away from the solid foundation that is Christ. Father, build in us a love for truth, even the truth that hurts, even the truth that calls us to confront things, Lord. Strip away the lies we tell ourselves, Father, so that we can have your peace, your joy, your grace. Lord, help us be truthful and gracious in everything we do. Lord, help us be humble and submit to you. You are our hope. In you, only light is found. You are without shadow. You are the great I am. All truth comes from you, Lord. All lies come from our enemy. Help us choose wisely who we listen to and rejoice in the truth that sets us free. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.